Tom Karkle in the WRJN News Center. Forecast for today, going to be cloudy, a continuing chance for some rain, and a high only around 57 or so. Right now in Kenosha, 50 degrees, 50 in Burlington, 51 in Milwaukee, also 50 in Racine. The Racine County District Attorney's Office could be filing homicide-related hit-and-run charges against a man from Racine from a Friday night traffic incident that claimed the life of a man who was riding a bicycle with his son on a road in the village of Caledonia. This happened along Douglas Avenue, not far from Middle Road. The 39-year-old victim on a bike out on the roadway, his 15-year-old son riding a bike on the sidewalk. The southbound vehicle that struck the man left the scene after scattering debris at that location. He then later succumbed to the victim to his injuries at Ascension All Saints. Caledonia police did follow-up work in the crash. It led them to the driver. In Zion, Illinois, police seeking the car and its driver from a hit-and-run incident that killed a pedestrian, a youngster from Kenosha, injuring another person along Green Bay Road south of 9th Street. Surveillance cameras nearby showing a silver or gray-colored vehicle with damage on the right front center portion of the grille. After striking both victims, police told that the driver pulled off to the side of the road, raised the top on the convertible, removed evidence from the vehicle, and then drove off. Online postings by family and friends identifying that teenage victim as Randy Harrison. He graduated this year from Indian Trail High School and Academy. His sister, Tanya Cleaver, in a Facebook posting says, "Someone needs to come forward, please." Also in Waukegan over the weekend, there were 9 people hurt. An SUV backed up into a restaurant during lunch hour. 3 people inside the eatery were seriously hurt. Hospitalized, the driver and a child in the vehicle, non-life-threatening injuries, the woman cited for improper backing and reckless driving. City of Racine has a number of very strangely designed intersections. That might be an understatement for some. Carmel Avenue, Columbia, and Clarence Streets are maybe one of those that fall into that category. It's a site where some additional corrective action is apparently going to be taken.
To help clean up a little bit of the lane delineation there was more or less an open intersection, kind of a free-for-all through there with little or no control, I believe, at the time. What we did at that time is we recommended stop control on these two intersections here because these are the ones that really had no sight line when you're coming through. And this is the predominant movement coming off Kinsey Avenue, the east approach for westbound movement. It's at the highest percentage of volume.
Traffic Commission hearing from City Engineer John Rooney. He said that the raised triangular median that was installed after pavement work back in 08, well, apparently some accident data showed there was a problem that still existed.
We found two, only one was correctable by traffic control. The one was, it was an intersection where a vehicle hit a parked car, so it had nothing to do with traffic control. But the one we did find was an accident where something went through the intersection here. Somebody came up this intersection. There was a T-bone collision at that. So I guess that situation does exist.
After review, Rooney said that their recommendation was to put stop control along the northern leg and to keep Columbia open on the east. Traffic Commission supported the recommendation. City of Racine's Finance and Personnel Committee set to meet at 5 o'clock at City Hall. Among the items on the agenda, a proposed collective bargaining agreement with the Racine Police Association that covers the years 2018 through 2020. There's also permission to apply for a $200,000 EPA cleanup grant for the 526 Marquette Street building, which used to have motocross, a Phase 1 study showing the need for the cleanup of potentially hazardous contaminants. Also permission to apply for an EPA community-wide assessment grant, this for use in completing assessment activities, various cleanup planning, and to get public feedback on brownfield projects. And the Pleasant Prairie Police Department, as of tomorrow, going to be undergoing a full assessment of its policies and procedures and management operation and support services. A team from the Wisconsin Law Enforcement Accreditation Group is going to be doing that. 235 standards have to be met to gain that accreditation status. Chief Dave Smetana says the last 18 months have been spent on self-assessment, improving their policies and their procedures, and revamping both training and education efforts. There will also be a public information session on the 25th at 6 p.m. at the Police Department in Pleasant Prairie, a chance for community input regarding their police department. The Kenosha County Board's Finance and Administration Committee set to begin its review of County Executive Jim Cruz's proposed 2018 budget this evening. The panel to begin the review with the County Board's budget at 6 o'clock. Other departments on deliberation this evening, it's going to be the DA's office, the Circuit Court, the Sheriff's Department, Joint Services, also the County Clerk's office. The budget reviews will then continue each night this week with a final recommendation coming on Thursday. City of Kenosha is doing it, as well as most other municipalities, the Mount Pleasant Plant Commission hearing about it, requiring more detailed financial information about construction costs on new projects with developers to try and counter the past history that's shown some of these businesses are later challenging their assessments. Dan McHugh is the assessor in Mount Pleasant. He's friends with Kenosha's assessor, Pete Christowiak. He told the Village Plan Commission it's kind of a trial balloon right now.
We're all having the issue with the big box stores and other commercial properties where they're appealing their assessments, claiming that they are worth half or less of what it costs to build them. So if we have that information of what it costs to build a brand new structure, whether it's a warehouse or retail or whatever, that's information that we can use, and it would be hard for them to refute in court saying, well, yeah, we spent $15 million on this new building, but it's only worth $5 million.
He explained Kenosha's been successful thus far with its demands for the information about the buildings and the value in exchange for the usual project approvals that are needed. He noted the problem with the assessment challenges started with the so-called big box stores, but it's also been a growing trend.
It's even coming into the fast food stores and the strip malls, those types of properties as well. So that's why I have the kind of the two-tier. One is the construction costs. The other is also the lease agreements. But it really has nothing to do with residential. It's strictly for commercial properties.
He pointed out there's a state law and village ordinance protecting lease information regarding any privacy provisions, noting also that the recent announcement about Foxconn had taken place. McHugh said Mount Pleasant and other faster-growing communities now trying to get out in front of this while admitting there has been no legal challenge thus far to any municipal requirement. Caledonia's Community Development Authority set to meet at 5 p.m. in the East Conference Room of the Village Hall. Among the agenda items, reported problems with the old Western Publishing Company building and as well as the old Olympia Brown School. The former has come up in citizens' comments at different board meetings. The latter, it's been targeted for demolition eventually by Racine Unified. 2018's proposed budget for Caledonia, that has a public hearing tonight at 6 o'clock. Meanwhile, the budget adoption would be following up with a special board meeting right after the public hearing. Also on that agenda, the possibility of naming someone to replace outgoing President Bob Bradley, who's leaving effective November the 6th. Incoming Racine Mayor Corey Mason doesn't want to start any big political fight with those on the Common Council, especially when it comes to, say, building that event center or not. Last week, Mayor Dennis Weiser, the interim mayor, accusing both of the mayoral candidates of spreading misinformation about that project. Mason telling our partners at Gateway Public Radio he stands by his belief the event center project should be scuttled.
They neither have a plan that is financially viable or publicly supported. And to move forward without both or either of those things would be, I think, really foolhardy. And really, honestly, I'm hoping that's not how we have to start the big fight with the council over the arena.
Mason is scheduled to take the oath of office on November the 7th. He and Interim Mayor Dennis Weiser are expected to be meeting soon to talk about that issue. And coming up at 6:30 tonight, it's the Mount Pleasant Village Board meeting at the Village Hall. On the agenda, approval of the contract for bus service that covers this year, approval of professional services contracts with seven companies related to Foxconn, and there's a closed session with the county and the state DOT on property acquisition related to Foxconn. WRJN.com, that's our webpage. That's where we keep our newscasts in the local news section. And throughout the day, at WRJN News, we'll get you our Twitter updates. I'm Tom Cargo, WRJN News.